In 2015, Southern Ohio was in the midst of an opioid crisis. The community came together and created a race. A race that would help prevent drug use in the area for generations to come. This is no ordinary race, and this is no ordinary story. The Buck 50 is a 24-hour team relay race that spans 150 miles of trails, roads, and paths winding through the Appalachian foothills of Chillicothe, Ohio. The Buck 50 has teams of 10 and 5 runners, two van drivers, all for one great cause. The Buck 50 is an incredible two-day adventure for runners, an organization that has vowed to fund every willing student wanting to live a drug-free lifestyle. This is the story of the Buck 50, the race that has created a ripple effect of change and inspiration for more people than we may ever know. One race, one cause. This is Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 Podcast. Hey, welcome back to Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 Podcast. We have guests today, William. We have guests.
We've got great guests today.
Guests. William and I have been just chatting amongst ourselves about some
seasoned veterans, for sure.
Some really, like, important things, but it's really funner to have guests. And in the English dictionary, the word funner won't be found, but it, without question, I don't know if that's in the guidebook, but I need to add that.
Funner.
Funner. Yeah. Without question. So we have Julia and Keenan Montgomery. Hello. In the house today. Welcome,
hi.
Guys.
Hello.
Yeah.
And they are part of the Ignite Runners Collective, which is a phenomenal group of runners in the Chillicothe area. And you guys started when? When did you guys start running? In the group, so to speak. When the runners group start?
We just had our second birthday in October, so 2022.
All right, so about 2 years.
Yeah, about 2 years.
And how did you guys get started in this? Because it's not, as someone who has organized things, I have so many questions about how you keep things organized, and I can appreciate the amount of communication you have to do. So what was the spur that you said, we need to start a running group?
One of the big things was our friend Ben moved to Texas. This was like kind of the catalyst before everything started. He moved to Texas and he didn't know anybody down there, so he joined this group called Champions Runners.
Okay.
And we just saw this, like, just massive, like, group of people down there. And I text Molly and I sent her the picture, and I was like, I want this. Like, I want to have this in town. And then we had talked over the summer, and then a very tragic thing happened in Memphis with
It's Eliza Fletcher.
Eliza Fletcher was on her normal route and was abducted and murdered coming out of the University of Memphis.
Okay.
So at that point, I was like, okay, all the girls have to share the locations. I have to know where you are at all time. And we were getting ready to go on a cruise. And I was like, when I come back, we're scheduling this and we're creating this run club. For a lot of it was for safety in the beginning.
Okay.
And just wanted to run with my friends. So it comes to October 15th of 2022, and we had posted on Facebook, like, hey, we're going to meet at 50 West at 6 p.m. Join us if you can. And 8 people joined that first run, and it has grown so much since then.
And unfortunately, tonight, we are not joined by the wonderful Molly Day,
yes,
who is also one of the organizers and founders of your running group.
Yes.
Yes.
She's unfortunately a little bit ill, but Molly, we'll get you on the show at some point, we promise. I really want to meet you. I was excited to have you in here tonight because I know you're doing these wonderful things in the running community. I was telling William, you know, obviously we've met, we've had, yep, many conversations, but Molly was unable to enjoy us, but certainly a important part of the Ignite Running Collective.
I could not do this without her. Like, there is no run club without her.
Yeah, she's the one that she does, posts the graphics. She puts the schedule out for the week. you know, she really is one of the driving factors of the group.
It like
I mean,
people,
she's captain, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she is like, I know Julie calls me Captain Runclo, Captain IRC, but like without Molly, like this would not. It's funny, like everybody thinks that there's like this kind of elaborate thing like that we do, but like Sunday we ask Tyler if he's running for the week, and that's our 5 a.m. guy, and he'll either tell us what days he can't do it or if he can do every week, and then Molly just puts the schedule out. I typically like to do my long runs on Saturdays, so she'll ask me what we're supposed to run because I'm on a program now, and I'll tell her, and then she'll literally come up with the graphics. She'll come up with the weekly schedule because it's our job to let people know what we're running.
So before we get into present day, you had this first run back in October of 2022.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You had 8 people show up.
Yep.
And then at that point, you're committed.
Yeah, we're in.
We're doing this. And then how many days a week was your first thought process in what we're going to put together here?
We thought possibly a Tuesday and a Saturday run.
Okay.
We were already starting to think, because we always, like, as a group, we start thinking about Buck 50 anyways. I don't know if we call it Run Club Christmas. So it comes like once a year, and we
that's
like
good.
So yeah, so we call it Run Club Christmas, and so we thought, all right, we'll do 2 days a week, and we'll do a Saturday, like kind of figure out maybe, but we were gonna add that later on down the road, and it has just went from that to we have a run 7 days a week. Our Thursday hill climb was a thing that I did by myself to get ready. Because the year that we were going to be the run club team, that was my leg, was leg one.
Okay, so you're running up Edina Mansion.
So, yeah, yep. And I live at the base of Edina Mansion, okay. And I did this same every Thursday, and I started talking about it at run club. And people was like, well, I'd really like to do that. And I was like, okay.
Do you really do Edina Hill every Thursday?
Every Thursday, it's a climb.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I do see the... Is it called the Edina Climb, or is it just called Climb Thursday?
We just call it the Climb
now.
Yep. The Climb.
Just the Climb.
Yep, the Thursday Climb is what we called it, and then we just call it the Climb.
For those of you who have not run Edina Hill, it is, in my opinion, it's kind of like a rite of passage in the Ross County area as far as a hill that you would run and the pain and suffering that will be added to you physically, and maybe more importantly, mentally.
Yes.
Yep.
Because you go up the first little climb, and then you kind of hit like a plateau, and it levels out. And you can see the hill in front of you. But that hill in front of you is kind of like the eternal escalator hill, because it's like you keep going and you keep going, but the hill does also.
Yes.
Yep.
So it just doesn't ever let off of you once you start that second layer of incline headed towards the mansion.
And I always did it like I always added before, because like what you were originally running, like you were like 4 deep and before you even came off of the flood wall, because you had like, I remember when you crossed the bridge on high, you're like, man, I still have like 2 more miles to go and I haven't even hit the hill.
Yeah.
And so that was just my like, that was the second run I think we added, was the climb, because I was just doing that on my own. And then people started being like, oh, I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that. And then we started adding in our Saturday runs. And we were originally doing, and we called them happy trails, because we were doing different trail runs. And people really love basically get ready for either Buck 50 or get ready for Stangles, Chris Stangles, like races afterwards.
Yep.
And
so we had kind of a both thing for trail runners and as well as road runners, for like, because it's marathon season, but it's also trail race season.
Well, yeah. There's 2 things I think. Well, you tell me since you start, like, what do you think hill training does for runners?
It kind of helped, like, I think for me, the hill training was helping me stay humble. like, that was like that hill in my running journey. I've been running for 10 years, and that hill has taught me so much about running and has taught me so much about who I am as a runner. And it's like I've conquered it. I've had humiliation because of that run. And I don't know, that hill just has a sentimental place in my heart.
Julia, what do you love about hills? And or you can hate them too. It's okay.
I'm the one that I'm not a fan. I'm not a hill girly. I could probably count on my hand how many times I've actually made it up Adena Hill without stopping. I mean, I would prefer to run that one over Larrick, yeah. Water Street, and Yaples. I mean, if I had to choose a poison, that's probably what I would pick. But I do recognize it's something that you need. I mean, for the most part, a lot of races are going to include elevation. So it does, I mean, helps if you're consistently training on it. I mean, you need it.
Well, I like hills and I like trails for the fact of they both force you to slow down.
Yep.
Mentally, you got to get ready to grind it out. And really on the trails, I think that's very unique because you really kind of have to watch your footing.
Yes.
And I'm a mental person when it comes to just like the love towards these things. So when I go trail running, I have to concentrate so much to not trip, hit the root, fall in the hole, hit the rock. That's why I enjoy it. Not to mention the fact just being out in nature. But I definitely think there's huge advantages to a runner to force yourself to be kind of uncomfortable, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when it does flatten out and it is pavement and you can just go, your body now has a little bit higher level of strength to do so. So you guys you run 7 days a week. I know there's the Tuesday group that meets down at 50 West.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's the Thursday hill climb.
Yep.
Saturday is kind of geared more towards trails or longer runs.
Longer runs. And then in January, I think it's whatever the first Saturday in January is, we switch and we go road to Buck 50. And that's what we call it. So we'll start running Buck 50 legs. Because like I said, I feel like that is my obligation to help people get ready for this race.
Yeah.
Kind of understand the game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've done it enough. I've ran every leg of the Buck 50. And I want people to be prepared. Because it is, like I said before, it can be really bad if you're not prepared for this race. And
we'll get to preparation for the Buck 50 in a bit, but talk about the Sunday group, because that might be, as a fan of running, that might be my favorite group. Really,
that is Molly's. That is completely Molly's brainchild.
Okay.
She texted me one day and was like, "I want to help people get into running, and this is what I want to do." And I was like, "Okay, full on." And it's our pace builder group, and it is intervals of 30 seconds of walking, 30 seconds of jogging for 2 miles. We run past that. We meet at the lot
Riverside.
By Petland on Riverside. And we run little past the dog park on the flood wall.
Okay.
And we run back.
Okay.
We have had success stories out of just that group that it's hard to describe, and like when I see people's victories like actually happen, and it's like emotional. Like I've gotten pretty emotional, especially there's our one friend Vance. Vance went from, he would complain and he would be like, he would say that we ran a half marathon when we've only done two. He's one of those guys, and I love him to death. And he went from that to running Buck 50.
Awesome.
He went from that to running Mataqua, and he ran a marathon at Mataqua.
And how long a period of time is that?
That was
less than a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, accumulating that mileage in, you know, 24 hours. It was it was wild. You know,
it's amazing to see.
Well, I think that's the thing for, you know, we were talking a little bit about this before the show started about, you know, running and the mental game and the camaraderie that happens with it. And there's so many people out there who will use the term, I hate running, or running sucks, or whatever that is. And
if you see me running, you better know something's chasing me.
Right. Yeah, I get that a lot. That's a good one. William would say that, wouldn't you, William?
Yeah, that's if you do see me running, I would say run too. There's some pretty cut and dry areas of where I would only run.
But I think the phenomenal thing about the sport is it gives you a chance to prove to yourself in a very physical and mental way that you can do anything. It's, you may not be able to run a marathon tomorrow, but you can start with the Pace Setters group.
Yes.
Yeah.
On Sundays. Mm-hmm. And you got to start. Everybody starts somewhere. Everybody starts somewhere. I mean, I'm sure there's been some knucklehead somewhere who took off and ran a marathon for the first time and had some success, and we'll hate on those people later if we actually know who they are. Yeah.
Darren.
Darren. Yeah, he had a base before, so he's good.
But it really is that, like, you push yourself, you learn to feel better about it, you both you know, your legs get stronger, your lungs get stronger, everything starts to come together, and you start to prove to yourself what is possible. And so really, that to me, I mean, like we've all said, that is a cool group that gets people out and started to just get a taste of what it's like. You do it with other people in a very positive fashion. So what time do they meet?
9 a.m. on Sundays.
9 a.m. at that parking lot right there on Riverside.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So for anyone who has said, I would like to start running, or I would like to run the Buck 50, but I can't do that. Well, first of all, you can't do anything that you use the word can't in. Like in my household, you are not allowed to say can't. You can say shut up, but you can't say can't. But that's wonderful that you guys have included that aspect of it. Kudos to Molly and, you know, making sure that happens to get people out there. So, Keenan, you recently ran a marathon.
Yes.
Tell us about what that was like.
I just ran.
How did you get there and
I just ran the New York Marathon the 3rd of November. I got in because of Jamie Elliott and St. Jude, so I did a fundraising. So I incorporated helping people and running. This is like my two favorite things to do.
Awesome, awesome.
And
just you and 50,000 people, right?
56,000 people. Whew. Like there was 55,000, there was 130 didn't complete the marathon. Like I think they either maybe didn't show up or they didn't, but there was 56,000 signed up.
Wow.
And I never thought that I would run a marathon. And
he actually had no interest in doing it, you know, probably like from like a little bit over a year.
I feel like the half distance is a really sweet spot where you could really push and not like
die.
Want to die. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I think that's okay, people. Like we're all in this running world that, you know, the ultra thing is becoming super popular. I'm still not quite sure I understand the concept. Kudos to those that do, but certainly the half marathon is a sweet spot.
Yeah, I love it. I love the half marathon. I wish we had more in town. We only have the Chillicothe half in June. So I was like, wow, I got in. So I spent the whole summer. Actually, the first long distance that I did was 8 miles, and it was actually we did leg 6 and 7 together.
Okay.
And that's 8 miles. So we was like, we need a good straight stretch.
Yep.
Where can we go? So we ran from Adena to Clarksburg.
Okay.
And then the whole summer was just a blur of running.
How many days a week did you train?
6. Because I was using Pace Builders as a recovery. My long runs were on Saturday. I was running a lot this summer. I did like majority. I think I'm like this year I'm almost at 1,200 miles, and I've done the majority since July.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was like I told her, and I was like, "This is going to be a lot." And
well, that's the thing about. Yeah.
But he wasn't alone. I mean, we actually had a lot of people that were training for their own marathons. Like, we had people training for the Columbus Marathon, and so they would kind of join in on that, or people training for halves. Like, I trained for Columbus half, so I would join him for sections. But, you know, it just became like a whole group, and then we would see other groups training for their marathons out on the flood wall, and it would be kind of neat to see.
It was awesome. But the hardest part was, like, when we had the conversation, it's just like, this is going to be a lot of time. I'm going to be running a lot. But I still have an obligation to her, and I have an obligation to our daughter. So it's like the time it helped me do time management a lot more. Like, okay, I've got this amount of time that I can get this run in. Hey, we can do something Saturday evening, but I have to do 20 miles at this time. Molly can't run in the morning. We have our 20-mile run. Okay, we'll move it to 3 p.m. And I just, that's it for the day. I'm not going to do anything in the morning. I'm not going to do anything in the evening. I'm running 20 miles.
You're living and breathing it.
I'm living and breathing running.
The whole time. That's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
That's the thing that, I mean, when you look at the training that it takes to do a half marathon, which is pretty similar to what it, in my opinion, takes to do the buck 50. Like, those two training regimens are pretty similar. When you go to that marathon label, I'm not going to say you double everything, but it's pretty close to that. And then that Saturday thing is like, that's an investment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're literally running for 3, 4, 5 hours.
Yeah, our longest was 4 hours, and it was what sucked is it literally was, we had no rain all summer long, and our 20-miler was scheduled on the same day that the hurricane finally came through, and it rained on us for 4 straight hours. But I had a job to, you know what I mean? Like,
it
I
is,
had a
yeah.
job to do.
Yeah, because you can't fail. Like, you can't just show up to the starting line in the corral and think, well, we're all trying to do your best, but winging it's not really what any of us want.
Well, that's the same thing. And it's like what I was saying about, like, I give the same energy, and she can tell you, I give the same energy at any kind of like race that I'm going to do. And it's like, I like to, like, when they, no matter who in our group for the buck 50 pays for it, is a captain, so I'm the one that's like, all right, put everybody in their place. Like, I like to be so prepared for things. It's like, I know I can drive her insane with it sometimes, but it's like,
it's true.
As soon as we signed up last year, I had everybody already knew where I wanted them to go.
Everyone had their running positions.
Everybody, and that's
based off
my
their
job.
Strengths and.
And it's like, we have a specific way that we do this, like, and it works for us. And it's like, we have a meeting in January before we know we're going to submit you guys the times.
Pace times, yep.
Yep. We have a meeting. We get together. We eat. We just go over stuff like, hey, this is this. And then in March, we have a family dinner, and we go over what we're going to bring. Hey, you're going to do this. We know what time we've already know what time we're going to start. So it's like, okay, this is the teams. This is the amount of teams we're running with. This is who's in front. Like, we go over this stuff. Like, precisely.
I mean, similar when he was preparing for his marathon, I mean, like, that kind of prep role, me and my friend Darren kind of undertook that role of the planning of where to meet him, you know, how to get him to where he needs to go and everything while we were in New York.
Let's talk about the you said you started to get this group together because of women and their safety and all that. And as a male who's 6'4", I got no idea. I'm not the one who's a target. And I hate the fact that I can't quite get there, but I can appreciate what you're talking about. And it's infuriating to think that that's a concern or that's a fear that you have to have. So if you're not going to run in the Ignite Collective Runners Group, what are some things that women should be thinking about to run safely?
So I'll kind of take the lead on this one, because I get it. I've been in very many positions where I've had to, you know, run fast in certain areas. And I've also had friends that, I mean, it's not one of those things where it's like it only happens in bigger cities. I mean, we've had plenty of runners just in our group alone that have been followed by people. I mean, I've been followed and had no idea. So some of the things that I would recommend is, and sometimes you just don't even think, you're just like, I'm going to go run. And then, you know, I'm hyper aware of my surroundings. We encourage carrying some type of, self-protection, whether it is,
I carry mace myself all the time.
Yeah, I mean, forget dogs.
Just because,
like, dog, yeah.
Just, I mean, if it's a stray dog or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It really changes the game of what you're able to defend or compete with. And certainly there's 5,000 different ways to carry that. And I would encourage anyone who's running male, female, to always have mace with you.
Yep. Mace. I have like a spike that I carry, that I slip on my knuckles. I've done that for my night runs, especially. I've done it for the Buck 50. You know, I did run in my AirPods, and there was actually two female runners that were murdered pretty recently. And my husband was just like, I have a tendency of almost losing them. My husband was just like, Keenan was like, I'm done. He's like, I can't, like, I want you to be able to hear, because like, even when we're running, he's like, you can't hear me when I'm trying to talk to you or something. And cause when I'm running, I have to go into a zone. And so I'm focusing on my cadence and my heart rate and not tripping in front of me. So he got me some shocks,
yep,
so I can hear everything. And that, you know, did make a difference. But yeah, definitely being aware of your surroundings, having a buddy system. You know, like I said, we bunch of our friends have each other on Find My, so then we can kind of, someone's doing a long run, they can keep track of each other. But yeah, definitely just being aware of your surroundings, avoiding areas you've had issues before, running in groups. That's the other thing with our running group. We try to make sure that no one's running alone. I mean, sometimes there's been instances where either someone takes off early or someone was missed, but we always try to make sure, like, everyone that goes out, that everybody is back in.
Yeah, we will wait until the last person. It's like, there's sometimes, like, I'm a big talker. Like, I do, like, when I get in groups, like, Julie has to wrangle me in sometimes, but I don't leave 50 West until the last person has come back.
Yeah, the group thing is definitely something.
But
that,
if you're,
I mean, not only is it enjoyable, but it's safe. Yeah.
And if you're intimidated by running with us, like, our whole thing is everybody's welcome. But if you're intimidated to, like, getting out of the car and coming with us, have your own small group that you feel comfortable with. I rarely run by myself anymore.
Bring a friend. That's what we want more.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, two is company.
Bring somebody that you're completely, and we'll introduce ourselves and like stuff. And it's like, that's our whole thing. Anytime we have somebody new, like, we're right there with them and stuff. And then before we even take off, like, Molly came up with a thing where it's like the fast runners get in a group and they take off, and then the 9 to 11 people, and then they take off. And then, like, usually Molly and I will stick back at the end.
Okay.
So when everybody's finally gone, Molly and I will take off.
Yeah, we try to at least pair people with their group so then no one's alone. But, you know, and then, I mean, there's some people that just prefer to just, you know, run alone. And we just kind of, you know, we let them know, and anybody should let them know, like, at least have somebody tracking that's able to, like, if you're going out and run, just let somebody know, hey, just so they can kind of keep an eye, just because, I mean, you never know.
What's like when Will Fazell shows up, Will has one speed. But he still comes to our runs. Now, he might take off and run it by himself. But he's there, but he knows where he's going and everything like that.
So how do you determine the routes? Like
yeah. Molly and I.
So when people show up, there's like a design route that they're going to take.
Yep. So Molly and Keenan get together and they.
We text back and forth on Mondays. Yeah. And then Molly will create the graphics. She'll do the routes. She'll type out, turn right at Arch Street, turn left at this, turn this. So we post the route so everybody knows. And then like we take our picture. Because we do a picture at every, it's our thing. We take a picture at every run that we do. And then Molly will explain the route. And then it'll just be like, all right, my sub nines, let's go. So it's like we get, who's been coming lately? But usually we're like, we'll single one person out that we know it's going to run fast.
Like, oh, all right. Shane Mayer.
Yeah, Shane Mayer. Shane Mayer comes and we're like, Jimmy. All right, everybody follow
Jimmy
Shane.
Stangle.
If you're running sub nine, you're running with Shane.
Yep.
Shane's 8 foot tall. You're going to see him.
Yep.
And then it's like, all right, your average runner is anywhere from 9 to 11. Okay. After they take off, you guys take off.
And we'll even have walkers too. They'll walk 1 to 2 miles and, you know.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so you started with 8, and then how many people are showing up now on average?
We usually get anywhere from like 25 to 40, depending on the time.
Wow.
Our two biggest runs that we've ever had actually has to do with the Buck 50. So the Wednesday before Buck 50, we do the Buck 50 shakeout run. And before we went up to the college, so we'll have to figure something out, but we like to do where the starting line is.
Yeah, you guys took a really big photo. I'll use the term stole. We're pretty aggressive here at the Buck 50. We had you guys as like the top panel on our Facebook page for a pretty long period of time.
I'm just impressed that they can get that many people in one place under their own will. I don't think Dave or I can get 10 people running.
Yeah, they're all
together.
Volunteers. You don't pay to be in the club. It's just, it is 100% about being safe and social.
Yeah. So like that was our biggest, besides our first birthday run, that was our biggest run. I think it was this past year's shakeout.
Okay.
And I like, when it comes around then, I like to do a lot of stuff because I feel like I said, it's Run Club Christmas. So we like to have like a lot of fun when it comes to it. So I remember the first year I was like, hey, we should do a shakeout run for Buck 50. And that's when I was like, hey, I was like, I want you to come.
You
to
did
this.
Shake me down for that.
I
didn't make it.
I went to the medal reveal one day. I'm going to get you there. But
I'm going to run on the Buck 50 one day. It's either going to be your, well, let me think about this. My son is 16, so in 2 years, my goal is kind of be on his team in 2 years. So year 9 is coming up, year 10, so I guess it might be year 11.
I might join you, Dave.
That's a good goal. I actually have, my goal is to run Chicago in 2 years, and I've never done a marathon. I've done 2 halves.
But that's the way you got to plan some of these things. You really got to think far out in advance, not just... And because that's the recipe of success.
Yes.
Running is a long game of experience, understanding, conditioning, which leads to success.
Yes.
And right. In my opinion, most people who use the term, I hate running, started out going too far, too fast, too soon.
That was me.
And once you realize that that's not really how you're supposed to run, it is this like slow, controlled breathing. The, like you said, what are you, 30 seconds on, 2 minutes off?
30 seconds on, 30 seconds off.
Yeah. Like once you start to go through that progression and then you get stronger and stronger through that, then you're like, oh, that's what these people were doing.
It's like the marathon training where it taught me like to eat, like all this other stuff. And it's like, man, there's such a science behind this running. Like,
because you have to fuel.
Yeah,
you have to fuel. You have to carb up, and you got to, because you're burning so much between sweating and, you know, like the distance. And,
you got to hydrate. I mean, like it's nobody's business.
Well, it's like trying to explain to somebody how the Buck 50 works. Like that's a big one. And I always like equate it to like a roller coaster. And it's like you get on and you're like, man, you're with your people and you're like, man, you're excited and you run your first leg and then you're in this. And then you get into the middle of the night and you're like, man, what am I doing? Why? What am I doing here? And like, you don't know how to like fuel. You don't know exactly because it's like, man, I just ran really hard for 40 minutes. And now it's 3 a.m. and I'm at Walnut Creek Campgrounds. What am I doing?
Yeah.
And then you're on your last leg and you're just like, man, like, I don't know about this. And then when you guys are done, you miss your people and you're like, man, I can't wait to do that again next year.
There's a lot of, well, you said highs and lows. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes mm-hmm. it stinks. But it's the perseverance. It's the camaraderie. It's all the people engaged in it. That's what I think makes it such a special sport.
Yeah.
But I really think it's awesome what you guys are doing in the community, like to put this together, to organize it, to bring people in, to help people get started. Like, what a rewarding and phenomenal thing to have you guys working with so many people.
That has been my favorite, like watching people's growth. Like I love to watch when you guys came out with the trackers.
Yeah.
Like, I love to like watch, like, I mean, if you look at it, like run club teams make up like over half of the Buck 50. There is at least somebody that comes.
Somebody somewhere is on a team somewhere. So you're keeping track of.
So you're just like constantly looking to see where your people are.
Is there anything else you would want people to know about the Ignite Runners Collective group that is storming Chillicothe on a regular basis? You know, Tyler's out there in the morning. Tyler needs some friends, people. You guys got to get up early. I'm a big fan. Tyler's helped us out a lot in the Buck 50 side in his work at Carter Lumber. We buy a lot of materials, and he's been very generous with his time and discounts to help us many times.
I didn't even know where he worked until I saw that you posted the bridge that you guys helped build.
Yeah, yeah, and he helped us with my son's Eagle Scout project too.
And I was like, man, I was like, that's awesome. And then it's like, I had no idea. And then he helped with the big
150 yep. numbers. Yep.
I told him that he calls that at 5 a.m. route the path to knowledge because he has a run.
There's a run called the Path to Knowledge. Like I don't know what it is, but we have this thing where we call different things, like different runs, different things. And he does the Path of Knowledge, and that's how I even knew what it was. Like when he runs up to the college, that's what he calls it.
I told him that we're going to definitely do a shirt for 2025. Path to Knowledge shirt.
And have like the college, because it's all about running up there at the college. But yeah, he definitely needs some more. I get it. Like, I got up yesterday, and by about 2 o'clock, I was dead tired.
People, you got to get up early if you're going to get, you know, the early bird gets the worm or gets to meet Tyler.
Yeah.
How would they get in contact with you guys or know when and where to run? Follow you guys on Facebook, or what do you best suggest?
Facebook is the one way that you can message Molly or I also. Like, okay. We're on there. Like, you'll see us. That's the only place I really post.
Yeah, we do have Instagram. We do post a good bit on Instagram. Yeah. Facebook's probably like the main hub for everybody to.
Trust me, I didn't think that thing was going to blow up. Like, that Facebook is so active.
We have like over 700 members now. I mean,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And it is where all of our information, we come out no later than Monday afternoon is when the schedule comes out. If we haven't posted the schedule, like if Molly or I are busy or whatever, and Tyler will put out that he's running. He'll make sure that everybody knows that he's running if we haven't put a schedule out.
Well, William, we can do it. We'll try to continue to share the good things that they're doing because we do watch what's happening in the community, especially in running, and applaud you guys for your efforts. I know it takes a ton of communication and a ton of extra time that you're volunteering to make this just a better world. So kudos to you guys. And I think we'd like to have you guys on another show if you'd willing to come back and talk a little bit more Buck 50 details, because certainly you have lots of experience in that department also.
Yeah, I'll make sure that she's
Miss Molly.
Got her meds, and we'll...
Molly, we even have a chair here for you.
We
like,
do.
Right we here. Have a chair, and we'll get you back in here, and we'll talk about all things Buck 50. We appreciate you listening to Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 podcast. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please email us at raceinfo@thebuck50.com. And as always, have a great day, Buck 50 runners!